Joyful blessings. This is Kaylin Castell, co-founder of the Shamanic Astrology Mystery School and creator of the Celestial Timings. And this is an overview of the month of April 2015. And we have, again, another great month. We begin this month, actually, in the eclipse window. We had a total solar eclipse at the equinox on March 20th. And we'll have the closing eclipse on April 4th. And so we've been in what I like to call the eclipse cauldron for the last many days, and we have about four more days of that as we begin the month of April. So, but just a little piece that I wanted to share before we jump into more of what's going on this month is that I'd just like to remind everybody that everything that happens in the sky has a minimum impact of 3 days: the day before the exact event, the day of the exact event, and the day after the exact event. Now, many aspects will have effects for years. For example, the Uranus-Pluto square, even though we had the last exact Uranus-Pluto square in March, on March 16th, we're still within minutes of exactness most of the month of April. So we're feeling the impact of that. There's also Saturn going through the sign of Sagittarius. It takes about 2 years, 2.5 years for that to happen. Uranus going through the sign of Aries, 7 years in that sign. So these outer planets have a much longer influence than a three-day window. Usually it's the inner planets when there's something going on, like an equinox or a full moon, new moon, or other effects that are happening. We give it at least a 3-day window. So when I'm writing in the Celestial Timings, I usually give the date of the exact point, and then you can add the day before and after for the time of greatest maximum intensity. And if it's outer planets to each other, then you can know that they have a much longer influence. Just the other thing is if you note the sign and the degree of the aspects that are happening, this can help you to know if this is impacting your own natal chart. And then also if it's impacting you, how you can work with these cycles to know that these are personal cycles for you. And also that they're, you know, part of the collective experience. So sometimes we are at the effect of the collective cycles in a personal way. Sometimes we're just at the effect of them in a more collective way. But in any case, they're all worth knowing about and connecting into and being conscious of. It's something that ancient people did. They had a relationship with the sky. They knew what was happening. They built standing stone circles. They built pyramids. They built temple sites. They created petroglyph sites to track these certain timings of the year, to know when to plant, to know when to do ceremony, to know when certain things were happening. And they had a living relationship with that. And of course, that's something we've lost. And we have now more a connection to clock time and calendar time. So we design our lives around that rather than around what's happening in the sky and having that more alive relationship with that. So my mission with the Celestial Timings is to really help us to get back in alignment and in tune to these cycles that are happening, and we inform the mysteries as much as they inform us. So when we're in that living relationship, then we're in a co-creative process with what's going on rather than feeling like maybe we're at the effect of it. And that's the whole intention and purpose of this. And so on that, I wanted to just share this quote from Alexander Ruperti. It is in the written version of the Timings, but I just wanted to speak it out loud and say that all our life activities are structured by the day, month, year cycles, but we forget that these cycles are founded on astronomical data used by astrologers since very ancient times. And there was a time when astrology and astronomy were one science. They weren't considered to be separate things. And in fact, it was a way to disempower people when they separated them, and also when there was only a certain class of people that had this information, so that people then were dependent on them. So a part of our reclaiming our wholeness and our strength and our power as individuals who can determine our own lives is to regain these mysteries for ourselves and to be able to do that. So I'm hoping that the celestial timings is helpful for people in doing that, and that is absolutely the mission, purpose, and intention of doing this work that I have been doing now for 19 years. I'm like, I can't believe I do this. Have done this every month, pretty much every month for 19 years. It's amazing. Anyway, and I have learned so much. It has enriched my life in ways that I can't even express in words. It's been so amazing for me, and what I've learned, and how each year I feel like I've deepened my relationship with the great above as I'm living it out here in the great below. So that brings me to this sense of the statement in the opening lines of the Emerald Tablets of Hermes, and it says, that which is in the great above is the same as that which is in the great below, and that which is in the great below is the same as that which is in the great above, in the accomplishment of the miracle of one thing. They are one thing. They're one and the same. They're not separate from each other. One is not more important or less important than the other, and they coexist and live together within us as we engage them, the stars and the planets and the great above, and how they're helping to inform us here in the great below, and then how we engage with them and the ceremonies we do, the intentions we create, and the way that we're living with these mysteries is informing how they manifest and the forms that they come into. So the potential of those cycles is then lived through us as we engage with them. And the more conscious we are about it, the more amazing the opportunity it is for us to be creating and dreaming into truly a new earth and a new way of being, in living in cooperation and collaboration with one another, realizing that we're all cells in the same body. We're all fingers on the same hand. We are all in this together. And that is at least the dream that I'm dreaming into. So I don't know why I got off on that tangent this morning, but here we are. So in the month of April, we are, as I said, we're beginning in the eclipse window. And that will be ending with the total lunar eclipse on April 4th. So in this eclipse cauldron, we have whatever we've been holding in intention is being accelerated and maximized. The April 4th total lunar eclipse gives us an experience of accelerated time when we see all the phases of the moon being compressed into a few hours, usually something that happens over almost 30 days. It's 29 and a half days from a full moon to a full moon, or to a new moon to a new moon. And that is why there are usually 12 full moons in a month, in a year, not 13. Only every so many years do we actually have 13 full moons, and that's because it is 29 and a half days. So it does, some years turn out that there will be 13 full moons, but usually there's only 12. Whole other subject we could get into. Anyway, all the visible planets will be technically visible in the evening sky in the month of April. The Mars is going to set around 8:13 p.m. If you have a low horizon line, you may be able to see it as April begins. Mars cycle will technically begin the underworld phase around April 15th, when Mars reaches 15 degrees from the sun. It's so low on the horizon, it's hard to see now. I did get to see it when the moon was there on April 21st. of this last month. I mean, not April 21st, March 21st. So I was trying to see it the other night. Here we are at the end of March as I'm doing these recordings, and there were clouds there, so I couldn't see it. So I don't know if you'll be able to see it or not. But if you have a low horizon, you may be able to see Mars as April begins, and then technically will be disappearing around the April 15th and going into its underworld journey, something I shared a lot about in the audios for the weekly audios for April, and also the written version. Very important part of the Mars cycle coming up. Venus is setting around 9:40 p.m. As we begin the month, and she is going to set around 10:30 p.m. as we end the month. So stretching out that time from about 3 hours after sunset to about 3.5 hours after sunset. Bright, brilliant, amazing, going through the sacred hoop of stars, a very important part of the sky, and being with the Pleiades and with Aldebaran. She'll be with Aldebaran when she is at her fifth gate moon conjunction, reclaiming the throat chakra. Very interesting position for Venus to be in, something I also went into greater detail in the weekly audios, as well as the written version of the timings. And so she's just in an incredible part of her cycle right now. Jupiter will be setting in the early morning around 3:39 a.m. as we begin the month of April, and is getting closer and closer to Venus. Venus will be within 60 degrees of Jupiter by the end of April, and they will come together by the June solstice. So this great time to be watching how Jupiter and Venus are coming closer together in the sky. Actually, Venus is catching up to Jupiter, but as they rise and set, it may look like Jupiter's catching up to Venus, but it's actually Venus catching up to Jupiter. Anyway, so Mercury is disappearing from the morning sky on April 1st and will be reappearing in the evening sky technically on April 18th. That may be not so easy to see. On April 19th, there's a crescent moon with Mercury and Mars, though Mars probably is not visible because it will be its magnitude is so low it's going to be lost in the glow of the sun and is in its underworld journey. Mercury begins the month in going into its not underworld phase, but what we call the psychopomp phase, or the a very important part of its cycle, the part of the cycle that is unique to itself. Mercury is the planet that connects with the sun more than any other planet. Every other planet will connect with the sun once a year, except for Mars, which is every 2 years. Mars doesn't connect to the sun every single year, but it will this year in May, I think, or June, I forget. Anyway, I wrote about it in the timings. You can get the exact date there. Anyway, the Mercury cycle connects 6 times a year. Sometimes, you know, there can be an extra one in there, but every year, at least 6 times a year, 3 times while it's retrograde, 3 times while it's direct. When it's retrograde, it's closest to the Earth, and it's only with the sun for a very short time. When it's on the other side of the sun, it's with the sun from the Earth's perspective for quite a while. So Mercury's continually diving in and out of the sun, very significant. And this year is conjunct the sun in Aries, which connects with these a lot of themes that I shared in the written version and the audio version of the timings. Around the resurrection and renewal and the rise of the phoenix. So definitely worth tuning into and checking out the written and audio, weekly audios of the celestial timings for greater details on that. And let's see, what else did I want to share? We talked about Jupiter. Saturn. Saturn is retrograde as we begin the month. It's going to be retrograde until August. It's going to brighten. It's getting closer to its opposition to the sun. And so it's going to brighten this month. And it's actually going to rival the brightness of Arcturus. And then it's going to be with a star, Dashuba. Saturn's going to rise around 9:30. Well, as the month starts, it's rising around 10:30 or 11, and then by the end of the month, it's going to be rising earlier in the night. So, and with the star, with the head of the scorpion, very visible near the head of the scorpion, beautiful to see. And there's quite a lot that I found and researched about Saturn with the star Dashuba, the eye of the scorpion, the eye of the dragon, as the Chinese would have referred to it, the eye of the phoenix. We have Venus at its fifth gate with Aldebaran, the eye of the bull, and we have Saturn with the eye of the scorpion. So very worth seeing and checking out. And that's in the early degrees of Sagittarius that Saturn's hanging out this month as it's making its journey back into Scorpio. And that will be happening later. It's not going to get there for a little while yet. So this month really features some amazing aspects of the Venus cycle, Venus at the fifth gate, reclaiming her throat chakra with Aldebaran, the eye of the bull, Mars dropping into the underworld process, going into its underworld initiation, highly significant time for Mars, a great time to understand that and work with that, especially if you're in a Mars return, or if you're in a Venus return, working with the Venus cycle, Mercury, Mercury cycles are every 6 and 7 years. So it'll be in 2016, Mercury will again conjunct the Sun closer to the equinox. I think it's April 23rd when that happens. So we've got something very unique going on right now. And with Mercury cycle, of course, Jupiter is going direct and Saturn is with the eye of the scorpion. So very amazing things to tune into and to, you know, look up into the night sky and to connect with and see what messages are there for you. See how this helps to inform your life. See how this helps to support you as we navigate this amazing time of the turning of the ages.